This is a sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church.
So shaped to serve. There's lots of different images that can come up in that position. Here we've got Peter, a disciple of Jesus, was there right from the beginning. Was the first one called by Jesus to be a disciple. Is now referred to as an apostle. He's a spiritual leader. In fact, he's seen as the team leader of that whole group. And he's written letters to the churches that are scattered through what we call, you know, during the first century. And Charles Swindells writes, Peter, wrote the letter to a group of Christians scattered throughout northern areas of Asia Minor, which today we would call Turkey, where he had previously been to preach. So his letters were intended to strengthen them, to encourage them, for those that were claiming to be followers of Jesus, to live their lives, and particularly in this time when there were trials and opposition coming their way. And he was preparing them that they, you know, be ready for when these trials come. Now, relationships are really important. Big believer in building relationships. And 1 Peter 3 starts with talking about husbands and wives. Okay, now, disclaimer, I'm not ignoring that, but when you read through the whole book, you've got to make a choice of which passages are going to do, and so I prayed and I decided that I'd go from 8 to 12. So I want to encourage you to go back and read all of 1 Peter 3. All right, so it's not that I want to avoid the husband and wife thing, but this is what God has put on my heart that is appropriate to share today. A theme for this series is shaped to serve. So I wonder what image is conjured up in your mind when you hear those words about being shaped to serve. Do you get a picture of some clay being moulded, or, you know, maybe Play-Doh? If I was a bit more organised, I would have given you awesome Play-Doh. You know, you can just sit there through the whole time like my kids at school and drive me crazy because I don't think they're listening because they're too busy playing. Actually, many of them actually do much better at listening if they've got something to play with. I know I do. So I'm just going to sit here and play with my Play-Doh. So I started with it because I like that feel of Play-Doh in my hands. Not everybody does, I've discovered. But then my thoughts went to the clay and that the idea of shaping and moulding it into something that can be used for service. We all start with a little vase or a cup and all that, but there's some very elaborate things made out of clay. And so it made me think about how am I as a person being moulded by God? How am I being shaped to serve God and to serve all who come across my path in my life journey? So verse 8 has some strong directions. They're not suggestions. They're pretty firm statements. Verse 8 reads, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded." The NIV says, "Live in harmony." "Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble." Now, Peter's not saying we should all be alike, because that would contradict God's plan in Psalm 139, that we are all created uniquely. And there'd be a sigh of relief that, you know, that you're not all like me. Or you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm glad not everybody's like me. You know? Where would we be if we didn't have people like Graham and Wally who can reach those high places? Where would we be without the little ones that can get underneath? When it's time to clean up at school, I get the smallest ones to go under the chairs. I'm not going to do that. But what Peter is saying to us is that in our differences, we need to be seeking harmony, to be seeking to be like-minded, to be Christ-centered, to listen to one another, to be respectful. See, Peter is emphasising through this letter that trials and struggles are going to come our way. Sometimes that's just life. Things happen. But it also can be due to decisions that we've made or not made. Or, in the case of what Peter is referring to, these trials and struggles come through because of being persecuted for being a follower of Jesus. Graham already alluded to, again, the government or people outside the government are putting real pressure that non-detaxability should be removed from churches, that we should not have that privilege to support our ministries. Should, you know, being attacked to take things out of school. So there's lots of things of people having different views and enforcing them upon others. So they're external ones. But sadly, trials and struggles, hurts, can occur here in faith communities. Not just, you know, not specifically his senses, but in lots of places where Christians gather. Often I think there's this expectation, I know I'm not perfect, but everybody else should be. So why do they do that? And a misunderstanding, an unintentional misspoken word, a moment of piety and judgment, not meeting a need, not being aware of it. And that first encounter starts to grow and get infested like a sore. Or we can even contribute to feed it. Each of us can have a bad day, a bad moment, a bad week, a bad month, you know, or a bad year. It, you know, sometimes it just seems to go on. In 2019, many of you are aware that I went through a court case where I brought charges against my ex-brother-in-law. And at the end of that process and the sentencing day, which was extremely traumatic, I decided to go to the movies. In fact, I went with Jenny Jones. And then when I got home, yeah, it'd been a good morning. When I got home, where I live is very narrow. And if my neighbour across the road has parked his car, only one car can pass at a time. But cars keep really fast. So I always reverse into my driveway. Otherwise, I fear if I reversed out, I'd lose the back of my car before I've even seen them. So it's safer for me to reverse in so that when I come out, I've got better view, which is I've learnt is even more important these days now that I have a hybrid and it doesn't make a sound and people are walking down. So I've had a few of those and I'm terrified that a kid's going to come down on their bike. Mind you, that hearing a car's not going to help them at all. So I've got this routine. I know at what point to start putting my slow down, put the indicator on. If someone's a little bit close, I put the hazard lights on. You know, I'll wave. You know, if someone's coming towards me, I flash my lights. I've got this whole routine going. But this particular day, in order to reverse into a driveway, you've got to go past the driveway so that you can come back. And so I did that, and there's this car right on my tail. So I'm sort of, you know, Can you go back? And now another car's coming this way. So I can't go forward either. I'm stuck. She's not moving. So I get out of my car. I walk over to her. And I look in. And she's not looking at me because she's on her phone. I go berserk. I yell at her, that's illegal, you're not allowed to do that, get off your phone and all that. I want to move, get me move back. And she looks up at me and she says, have some respect for yourself, keep calm. So I yelled louder. Now, by this time, there's another car behind her. And she said, there's a car behind me. And I looked at them, I just looked at them and they quickly moved back. So then she moved back. And I reversed into my driveway. And then I burst into tears. And I rang a dear friend and said, I've just been involved in road rage. And he says, what happened to you? And I says, No, I was the one raging. And his response was, knowing everything that had been going on in my life, he said, Cheryl, that's quite normal. So then I yelled at him because I don't like being normal. But down the track, what I learnt from that is that often we only see a person in a moment, and that there's a whole lot of other stuff in people's lives that we don't know what's going on. And we may be the trigger for that final thing that just explodes. I don't deny that I can ruffle people's feathers a little bit. When I'm extremely tired and become task orientated, I can be very terse and that. And I'm grateful, particularly here, but wherever that's occurred, where people have been forgiving, compassionate, sympathetic, gentle. Sometimes we have control of circumstances in our lives. Sometimes we don't. And how we react to them will totally depend on what our reserves are. If we're totally drained, then it's hard to keep that under control. And that's not being ungodly. It's just being human. And Peter was obviously experiencing this because he's saying to the people, let's care. When someone hurts us verbally, can we seek to understand rather than react negatively? Are we able to respond with grace? And can we be sympathetic and show love and compassion? Be humble rather than pious and judgmental? Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, summarizes the great thinker C.S. Lewis by saying, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is not putting myself down that, oh, I'm not worth anything. Then you're calling God a liar when you do that, because you're God's creation. But it doesn't mean you need to be thinking about yourself all the time. So humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Being humble means to put our feelings aside and to seek to care for another person. If we get offended, do we give the person the opportunity to say sorry? Or do we just go away and pout? Many people are aware when they've done the wrong thing and they'll go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, or those words came out before I thought about it, and blah, 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 blah. And they want to say sorry, but they don't know how to. Do we seek to be Christ-centered and like-minded in order to get that opportunity? Some people may not even be aware that they've offended you. And if that's the case, then follow the biblical principle that Jesus said. If your brother or sister sins or offends you, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. Go to the person. Do it graciously and again with humility and quietly, not going around and telling everybody, did you see what so-and-so did? So as I wrote this, I stopped and I prayed, Lord, help me to live by this. Verse 9 of chapter 1 Peter 3 reinforces it. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because it's this that you will call to, so that you may inherit a blessing. If you feel wronged, okay, it happens. But we don't have to make it worse. So back to my driveway story. It was a young woman in the car that I yelled at. And I seriously believed that when I woke up the next morning, that I would come out and find my window smashed, my tires slashed, my paintwork scratched, either by her or her brothers. I really did. And I would not have blamed her. Apart from the fact that I don't know who she is. But I can say she had far more grace than I did. I showed my evil side, but she did not repay me with evil. If someone does me wrong, how do I respond? How do you respond? Our human nature screams revenge. This is when we like to call on the Old Testament laws. This is when it comes, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So Peter challenges us this, you know, because Peter was there right from the beginning with Jesus. He was there on the Sermon of the Mount. He heard when Jesus said these words. You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Again, I want to pause. I want to pause and say, make it very clear that I am not advocating that anyone should stay in an abusive situation. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Be it physical, sexual, verbal, financial, psychological, spiritual. There is evil in this world and we need to walk away from it. And we need to protect one another, particularly our children and the vulnerable. If someone hurts us that way, we don't turn the other cheek and let them do it again. Just want to be very clear about that. So in our context of misunderstanding somebody or even deliberate hurts or outside criticism, even persecution, that in all honesty, we have no idea what that means yet. We are called to rise above that situation and be a person of blessing. Quoting from the commentary provided by BibleReference.com, for Christians, revenge is never the right option. Peter echoes the teachings of Jesus as well as that of Paul in making it perfectly clear that those in Christ set themselves apart for a new purpose and are not allowed to get even. Peter was writing to believers who were living the experience both physical harm and insults of their faith in Jesus. The way of the world and normal human impulses is to strike back with the same hurtful treatment that we receive. And Peter commands us to completely refuse that instinct. And we can only do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's got to go beyond us as human beings. So instead of repaying evil with evil, insult with insult, Peter commands those in Christ to bless or give a blessing. Because a blessing is a positive statement. For a Christian, it's a request that God would help that person. How can we help that person where they are? How do we show that care and compassion? What is their need that has brought them to this point where they're not coping and therefore are responding in such a way? So Peter adds two ideas here. First, as Christians, we're called to work, to do this work of blessing in exchange for insults and evil. That's part of our purpose as God's people here on earth. And it's a powerful tool for social change, since only forgiveness can change that cycle of revenge. And secondly, and more mysteriously, as we give blessings, we get blessed. That's what's so amazing about God. God wants to bless us. And we do it by blessing others. What are those rewards going to be? Are we talking about heaven, eternity, or is it now? Might be all or both, or we don't know. And why? Be assured I'm not going to go through each of the verses. I'm just going to read this. Verse 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Does that sound familiar? Maybe. Mel, is it familiar to you? And where did you read that from this morning? Psalm 34. Peter is quoting from the Old Testament. He draws on his Old Testament knowledge to let his readers know that God is consistent in his expectations of his people. And that expectation continues through to us today. For those who choose to follow and say Jesus is Lord, this is what we are being called to do. Jesus never promised that being a follower would be easy and that we'd get all these blessings and no hard times would come. I don't know everyone's circumstance, but I'm fairly confident that all of us have been through a trial and a struggle, a disappointment, hard times. Some are there now. But what God is calling us, what Jesus is calling us to do, to be, is countercultural, to not respond the way society would like us to do it. To be like Jesus when he walked here on the earth, the way he interacted with people. But being a follower of Jesus is such a worthwhile decision to make. For daily we are being shaped to serve God in a way that brings blessing to others and to us. Like the clay pot gets shaped, and in order to be finished, it's got to go through the fire. It's got to go into the kiln. So too do our lives. I'm so glad that God gives us this invitation through Jesus to live a life to the full, to have a companion in those times of challenges and joys, to grow through a commitment to community, communion, and commission. So how about you? Have you come to that point of saying yes to Jesus and following his ways? Yes to growing closer. Yes to serving wherever God calls you to. Yes to telling others about that. We are being shaped to serve. Will you join me in prayer? Loving Lord, help us to apply this gentle spirit of compassion, humility, and love into our lives so that we may be an example of a godly believer and give glory to your holy name. Thank you for this passage that challenges us. So often when we are wronged, we want to lash out and return evil for evil, but help us to walk in your spirit and truth. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we honestly and wholeheartedly return a blessing to the person who dealt evil to us. Thank you for the promise that by doing this, that we will inherit a blessing. And thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for all that will come in our life. Amen.